and make sure people haven't changed their titles. So.
So.
The same title?
I think so.
The title of his presentation is Colloid Mobilization and Colloid Facilitated Radionuclide Transport in Hanford
under
field conditions.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Today I'll be talking, just as Scott said, on colloid mobilization and colloid transport at Hanford site. This is a collaborative project between Washington State University and Pacific Northwest National Lab, and Marcus leads the WSU portion, and Fred Zhang at PNNL, and I'd like to thank those guys for letting me present this today. But okay, so our basic hypothesis is that under natural precipitation conditions at a Hanford site, colloid transport can occur, but with that the magnitude is going to be strongly dependent on the recharge rate. So our objective was to quantify in the field and in situ colloid transport and the effect that water flow rates have on Hanford sediments, in particular 300 area sand. It's a medium to coarse grain sand. So at the Hanford site, recharge is anticipated to be anywhere from near zero to up to an over 100 millimeters a year. It's strongly dependent on the surface conditions, what types of plants are there, deep rooted, and their ability to transpire, or bare surfaces, and the soil texture, or layering near the surface. So this is kind of a picture of the facility that we're utilizing for this, and kind of give you a bit of a scale, but they're fairly large lysimeters, 7.6 meters in depth, and there's six of them. There's two larger lysimeters, 2.7 meters in diameter, and four smaller 0.6 meter diameter lysimeters. In the center of all this is an instrument well that allows us to access the length of all the lysimeters and instrument them with samplers or other instrumentation, pull samples, collect deep drainage from the lysimeters. So at this particular facility, recharge has been measured for a long time, 25 plus years, and so for these natural conditions, we kind of have a fairly well-known recharge rate, and in that time, it was observed to be 62 millimeters a year. So our basic experimental design was to first have a control, and for this, we used one of the large lysimeters. It was the South Caisson designated SC here, and we applied our colloids and just allowed natural precipitation to drive it downward. For small lysimeter one, we applied two times this mean recharge rate. We irrigated that. And lysimeter two, four times the mean recharge rate. And for lysimeters three and four, we applied four times the mean recharge rate and also applied a one-time extreme precipitation event of 100 millimeters. And these can occur at the Hanford site, kind of termed Chinook events or rapid snow melts. And so we wanted to quantify those as well. But I should point out that we apply the irrigation water in proportion to the monthly precipitation, so we're trying to mimic natural conditions. And at this particular field site, all of it pretty much falls in the fall to spring, and there's very little summer precipitation. So the colloids that we use, the primary ones are europium colloids, and these were synthesized by WSU. They're 200 nanometer in diameter. We also applied fluorescent polystyrene beads and two different types, a 20 nanometer diameter and a 200 nanometer diameter. All this is suspended in a DI solution of pH 7.5. Our irrigation water was also synthesized to match the natural precipitation water chemistry, and so we collected samples for from our local Hanford Meteorological Station over a number of seasons and tried to match the major constituents and the pH, which was 6.4. Our basic instrumentation for that we used was the primary one is a sampler that's going to allow you to collect colloids from pore waters without straining them like a traditional porous cup sampler. And so we used a fiberglass wick sampler. They're spaced at four different depths along each of the lysimeters. And between those, we installed tensiometers for measuring matrix potential, and down the center, a neutron access port for measuring water content. And for all the irrigated lysimeters, we covered them with an insulated cover, and below that is a moisture barrier to prevent evaporation. So kind of our key parameters are, can we collect colloids in the pore water, and can we assess what the recharge rate is accurately? And so to do that, we needed to remove evaporation out of the equation so that what our input was kind of what our recharge was when moving downward. Either that, or we can wait the number of years it takes to, you know, get to the bottom of these long lysimeters. So our irrigation and colloid application method was pretty simple, and WSU came up with this. It was just a backpack spread that has a kind of a hand pump for maintaining a fixed pressure, and if you can calibrate it to get a pretty accurate flow rate out of it, and that's kind of how these were applied initially, our colloid solutions. We adopted it also for the irrigation method, and kind of the difference was that we weighed the individual sprayers both before and after, so we kind of had a known mass of water that went in, or volume. And then the first surface of the lysimeters were covered immediately after irrigation, again, to prevent evaporation. So these were our fiberglass wick samplers that we came up with, and we called them a split tube fiberglass wick sampler. In essence, it's just what it was. It was just a section of pipe where we removed a section of it, the top half, to allow the fiberglass to contact the soil over a large area. And on the other side of that, we put a T with a stopper so we could get in there with tweezers and pull an actual fiberglass sample out of the wick. The hanging portion of the wick was, they were all cut to 50 centimeters nominally, and that was kind of our tension that we're pulling sample from, and a collection bottle and a protective tube around it. And this design kind of allowed us to, we can get in there and adjust the length of the wick to shorten it, to tune our volumes if necessary. So here we are applying our colloids on a cold March day. I think this is Marcus down on the hole, but I can't see. So here's our application. I believe this is the north lysimeter here in south. We were asked the question, how do you know how uniform you're putting your water on? And so, you know, we sprayed on pretty uniformly, but we really had no metric for assessing that. So we came up with just this simple little test, and we took moisture tins and collection bins and stacked them in a 0.6 meter diameter, like the small lysimeters, and just sprayed them like we would out in the field. And this is kind of what we came up with I believe this was a 10-minute spray, and put on about 4 liters or so, which is pretty typical of an irrigation event. We collected 73.5 milliliters in each, and a standard deviation of 5.26, so 3 or 4% kind of variation. So fairly uniform, but at least we quantified it to address the question. One primary application for measuring water content and tension in the soil is to evaluate the evaporation conditions at the surface, and just our implementation of these covers, and whether or not we really are, in the magnitude of which we are impacting evaporation on these covered lysimeters. Below 2 meters, all of them are pretty much constant, and the water content tensions are constant, which is what you'd expect for these soils. But and one thing we did notice is that we did, in fact, reduce evaporation, but there is still some effect that we observed. And here it is. And so the south caisson is uncovered. It's our control. And you can see that it started out a little bit drier anyway, but dried way down to about 3% near the surface. There's quite a gradient down to this 2 meter depth. And our covered lysimeters, you know, started out quite uniform, but still did dry somewhat. And so we think maybe some evaporation is still occurring, and pretty much that's just the design of the cover. There's a little bit of a gap between the neutron access port and also kind of the lip, but that's one thing we're going to change and kind of address further. But there could be other reasons that kind of explain some of these profiles as well. So we wanted to be able to get an adequate sample from our wick samplers, and for all the wick samplers, we We pretty much got a high flow rate when we first installed them. The ground was wet. It's a low tension in March and April when we installed these, but they tapered off to kind of a fixed value, which was kind of what we wanted, except for at the very surface where it dried out enough that all of our wick samplers kind of dried out completely. And so that's something we can probably just change the length and the tension on our sample and hopefully keep them wet and get a sample all year round on those. So in conclusion, this is really early on in this project. We wanted to kind of show our experimental setup and whether it works and any kind of issues that may have arrived. But we've got a long way to go on it. But we did obtain a sufficient sample for these wick samplers so that we believe they're working. We observed natural colloids sampled through the wick samplers, so we feel that they aren't, they may be straining, but at least there's colloids passing through these samplers, so we believe they'll adequately give us poor water solutions with colloids in them. We have not yet observed europium or the polystyrene colloids, but time will tell. It's rather early on, and again, some loss at the surface may be occurring, but that's something that we will address shortly and hopefully remove completely. Thank you.
Any questions for Chris?
Yeah. The concentration, the input concentration? That's Marcus's end of it, and
so we measure the concentration with absorption, so spectrometrically, and then we also measure, we characterize somehow with microscopes, so SEM, we can do that. And the colors that we applied are fluorescent, so we use fluorescent spectroscopy. So all of those three, so we can distinguish the in situ colloids and the tracer.
Is the ultimate goal to look at colloid-facilitated transport? You talked about these colloids, but I imagine from Hanford's perspective, they're more interested in colloid-facilitated transport.
Yeah, attachment to the colloids and their facilitation of it, yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate application, I would say.
Are you going to be applying radionuclides to these?
Well, we haven't talked about that, but...
Well, the europium colloid is a surrogate for...
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Tiao Cheng, and the title of his talk is Colloid and Cesium-137 Mobilization and Transport in Vadozoned Sediment Under,
it's an on title.
That is.